Shila Prabhupada ki, Shila Bhakti Vedanta ki, Dadraj Shima Bhagavatam ki, Girivaj Maharaj ki, Go pray, Manate. So tonight we'll finish chapter 45. So we're going from verses 25 to 50. Finish the chapter. So next Tuesday we'll have the overview of chapters 34 to 46. And then Forty-one to forty-six. That's 41, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's only six chapters. Okay, six chapters. Anyway. I was trying to get to the end of chapter 48, but that's not going to happen. So next Monday we'll do half of chapter 46. Chapter 46 is very important. You need to try to come to the classes. So Monday night 46 overview on Tuesday. Finish chapter 46 on the following Monday, and then the exam, yeah, closed book exam on the 9th. Hare Krishna. Okay. So tonight we'll go through second half. Tike. Hare Krishna. Nanda Maharaj was overwhelmed with affection upon hearing Krishna's words, and his eyes brimmed with tears as he embraced the two lords. Then he went back to Braj with the cowherd men. Chandan?
Srila Krishna Acharya Thakur has written as extensive purport to this verse, elaborately realizing his portion of Lord Krishna's pastimes. Just as a man places valuable gold within fire to reveal its purity, the Lord placed his most beloved devotees, the saints of Vrindavan, in the fire of separation from him in order to manifest their supreme love. This is the essence of Acharya Krishna's comments.
Very good. So any points? So if you read the commentary of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, it goes for a number of pages. It's a very deep commentary. It's a long commentary, long purport on this verse. So basically, we're understanding the extraordinary position of the residents of Vrindavan. Yeah. We're hearing about Nanda Maharaj's position. The Bhagavatam is teaching us how to understand the different mellows of rasa. Because there are five different rasas which are mentioned. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Sringara, or Madhurya rasa. So five rasas are there. The Bhagavatam will describe those different rasas. Now, even within the rasas, there are different gradations. In the Madhurya Ras, there are the queens who will manifest in the next section of the Bhagavatam. And then there are the gopis. And amongst the gopis, there are right-wing gopis, left-wing gopis. We've studied these things as we go through the Bhagavatam. So we're understanding about the different types of relationships. Now, Srila Sanatana Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary is principally based upon the commentary of Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami has written one book which is considered to be the perennial book of all the followers of Lord Chaitanya. What is that book called? Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Yeah. So Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it is like the thesis or the original book of the Goswamis, which all the other Goswamis, when they write their books, it is based upon what is found in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita itself is like a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the essence of the Bhagavatam? Because Maharaj Pariksit had how many days to live?
Seven.
And then when he finished hearing the Bhagavad Gita in 7 days, his mother, whose name was Uttara, she came to him and she said, "Please tell me what you have just heard." And he said, "Well, I do not have 7 days because I'm about to leave this world. The Taksha, the dragon, flying snake, will come and
bite
me, breathe fire on me." So he gave a synopsis. The synopsis is the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Brihad Bhagavatamrita is like the essence of the Bhagavatam. So the Brihad Bhagavatamrita establishes that of all the devotees, the residents of Vrindavan are the topmost. And especially it establishes that among all the residents of Vrindavan, the gopis are the topmost. And of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani herself is the topmost. So this is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So here we're hearing that Nanda Maharaj is being addressed by Krishna and he's about to leave and go back. And he is feeling intense separation from Krishna. Now, how is it that he can go back? Krishna Chakravarti Thakur describes one form is going back, and we'll hear this in the next chapter. That's why the next chapter is very important. Because in the next chapter, what takes place? Uddhava? Visits Vrindavan. It's a very important chapter. Very important chapter. He visits Vrindavan, and when he enters Vrindavan, he sees two Vrindavans. When he first enters, he sees the Vrindavan where the Prakat Lila is manifest and Krishna is present. So when he first goes, he sees the beautiful Vrindavan. But then after some time, as he gets closer to Nandagram, what becomes manifest is the Aprika, or when Krishna is not manifest. And with Krishna not being there, the intense separation that the bridge buses are feeling from him. And he sees two very different scenes. Right? What he sees the first time, what he sees later on, they're very different. Both are existing simultaneously. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains here in a long commentary on this verse that Nanda Maharaj, in one form, he's about to go back and experience intense separation from Krishna and Balaram. But in another sense, he's already in Vrindavan, he has not left, and he's with Krishna and Balaram. So both things are taking place simultaneously. So what the Bhagavatam is teaching us, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came, and this is what we understand in the Shikshastika, he has come to teach Vipralamba Bhav. That's why the Bhagavatam is considered the topmost of all the scriptures, because it describes Vipralamba. Right? Many, many, many chapters. And next year, by Krishna's mercy, we'll study chapter 47 first. What is chapter 47 called? The song of? Yeah, the bumblebee. It is called Brahma Gita. Right? So far we've had a number of Gitas in the 10th canto. What are the Gitas so far? Chapter 21? Chapter 21? Venu. Very good. Chapter 31? Gopi Gita. Very good. Chapter 35? Yugala Gita. Very good. Then chapter? Viraha. Which is? 39. Okay. So then we're hearing already four Gitas. In chapter 47, then there's the next Gita, which is extremely deep, possibly the deepest of all of the songs within the entire Bhagavatam. It's called Brahma Gita. Because in the next chapter, what happens? In the next chapter, whatever goes back, then Krishna gets news that, we'll hear about this next year, this is where we'll begin next year. Krishna hears how much the gopis are feeling separation from him. So he takes the form of a bumblebee and he enters in to visit Srimati Radharani and the gopis. So then we hear about the song that Radharani sings when she sees Krishna in the form of a bee, not knowing that it's Krishna. So in the next chapter we hear about Nanda Maharaj entering, but also we hear about what Uddhava sees, what he sees later, the two different things. And now we're hearing about the Prakat and the Aprakat, how Nanda Maharaj is there So the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us separation from Krishna. So that's why we're hearing this description of how Krishna is staying in Mathura and Nanda Maharaj is about to go back. Now, I told you in the last few classes, then we'll discuss a little bit from Krishna Sangati. So the Bhagavatam does not mention Krishna going back directly. Right? It's not directly mentioned that he goes back. But actually he goes back a number of times. So I'll give you a brief description of how Krishna returns to Vrindavan several times. Okay. So there's a chronology of Krishna's repeated departures and arrivals to Vrindavan. So after his appearance in Gokul, Krishna remained in Vrindavan for 10 years and 9 months. So now what we're hearing about is 10 years and 9 months. Now Krishna has just gone to Mathura for the first time. Then he goes to Mathura, kills Kamsa, and then inaugurates his mission of freeing the world from the demons. After 1 month, during which time Krishna killed Kamsa and his supporters and enthroned Maharaj Ugrasen, Krishna went to Avantipur, which we're going to hear about tonight. What does he do in Avantipur?
Studies under Sandipani.
Yeah, he studies under Sandipani Muni, his guru. Where is that? Where is Avantipur these days?
Yeah.
Ujjain.
Ujjain.
And Bhakti Churuswami has built a beautiful temple there.
Beautiful
temple. You've been there?
Yeah.
And then very powerful program, preaching program. That's the place where Krishna went and studied. So Krishna went there. And then around about his 11th birthday, he returned to Mathura. So he was only over at Avantipur for a couple of months. Did his entire brahmachari Gurukul training in like 2 months. Learned everything. Normally what takes 20 years? Right? Krishna Balaram did in 2 months. See, Krishna Chandra Bhagwan Ki.
Yeah.
So then, he sent Uddhava, which is in the next chapter. And Uddhava goes to Vrindavan. And how long does Uddhava spend there? He also spends around about 2 months learning from the bridge bussies, trying to pacify the bridge bussies. He stays there. Then, when he comes back, he convinces Krishna to go back to Vrindavan. So he comes back and he says to Krishna there how much separation they're going through. And then he convinces Krishna to go to Vrindavan. And Krishna, it's not written in the Bhagavatam, but Krishna actually goes for 2 months at this point in time. So very shortly, in the next, after the next chapter, after the chapter 46-47, Krishna actually heads back and stays for 2 months in Vrindavan. But then, again, he comes back to Mathura. Okay. So Mathura and Vrindavan are not so far away. They're actually quite close. It's like, it's about from here to Dandenong. So you know Dandenong? Over the back there. Say 40 kilometers, something like that. Nandagram to Mathura. So he's not that far away, actually. It's only one day's journey on a chariot, some horse. It's not far. So he's just over there. But they can't get to him. Right? There's like a separation which is there. So they're hearing about him and everything, but they can't physically associate with him. So then, Krishna stays there in Mathura, and we'll hear next year that he fights with Jarasandha, how many times?
17
times defeats Jarasandha. So it means like 17 consecutive years that Krishna stays there. So during those 17 years, he does go back to Vrindavan occasionally. It's not like he just stays in Mathura the whole time. It's not written in the Bhagavatam, but he does go back from time to time. We've already discussed previously, when he leaves Vrindavan, he does say to Srimati Radharani, he will come every day. So he cannot lie. And there's also another statement where he says to Srimati Radharani, he will come every month. So at least he was going every month. But if he says to Radharani he was going every day, in some form he was also going every day to visit. Then he moves to Dwaraka. So he goes to Dwaraka. When he's been on the earth for 36 years. So it means he stays for 26 years in Mathura, but then after only 36 years, he takes the whole of Mathura, everyone wakes up one morning, and they're in Dwaraka. So they're situated there. The city which floats on the bay of Gujarat.
So when he was 36, then he went there?
When he was 36, he went to Dwaraka. So then, when he goes to Dwaraka, the gopis, feeling such separation, now he's at a great, great distance, they begin to disappear mysteriously. This is spoken in Lalita Madhava. There's a story how Radharani leaves her body, gets taken to the sun planet, gets reborn in on Earth. You could say as Satyabhama. This all becomes very intricate at this point. Maybe next year we'll describe some of it. It becomes very intricate. But the gopis begin to disappear in mysterious ways because they cannot tolerate that Krishna is so far away. It's not like Mathura. You know, they get really desperate, they can just walk. Dwaraka is thousands of kilometers away. Krishna was staying over there in Dwaraka, but it describes that even while in Dwaraka, he was regularly writing letters to the bridge buses. So letters were coming back and forth from Dwaraka to Vrindavan regularly. So there was correspondence. There was continual communication. And then in his 44th year, so it means Krishna had been living in Dwaraka for 8 years, that's when they met at Kurukshetra, which is described later in the 10th canto. Everyone comes, all the bridge buses go to Kurukshetra, and Krishna comes from Dwaraka. Everyone from Hastinapur, everyone meets in Kurukshetra at that place during the solar eclipse. Also, before they meet in Kurukshetra, it describes later in the Bhagavatam, chapter 60-something, that Krishna sends Balaram back to Vrindavan. So Balaram himself goes to Vrindavan and he spends two months there. And he associates with the bridge buses to pacify them and to let them know that Krishna is thinking about them all of the time. Thank you. So then, when they finally meet in Kurukshetra, then the bridge buses, they implore Krishna, you must come back to Vrindavan. So he agrees, I will come soon. So then he goes back to Mathura at one point, not long after this, to fight with the demon called Dantavakra. Dantavakra, who's in Mathura. So he goes from Dwaraka back to Mathura and he destroys Dantavakra. And then it says after killing Dantavakra, he enters into Vrindavan.
Dantavakra was Jaya and Vijaya, one of them.
What's that?
Dantavakra was one of Jaya and Vijaya.
Yeah, he was, Shishupala and Dantavakra. Very good. Yep. So actually, when he was in Kurukshetra, it says that while in Kurukshetra, after the solar eclipse, the bridge buses were so blissful to be with him again that they spent 3 months together in Kurukshetra before Krishna left. And then finally he said, you go back to Vrindavan, I'll come soon. So he went back to Dwaraka, they went back to Vrindavan. And then Krishna came back to Mathura, killed Dantavakra, and then he entered back into Vrindavan once again. Hmm. So then he spends 2 months with them in Vrindavan. And then it says at that time, when this pastime is described, we'll study that. It says at that time, Krishna took everyone back to the spiritual world, all the bridge busings, back to Goloka. It also says that when he comes back that time after he kills Dandavakra, it says that he enters Vrindavan and he marries the gopis. Previously, it was Parakya Bhav, so there was no marriage. But then when he comes back that final time, right, he fulfills their desire, he marries them. And then after marrying them, he takes them all back to Dwarka. So then the queens are there, the gopis are there, and they all live together in Dwarka, in Swakia, in a married relationship. So then it says that when Krishna had been on the earth for 57 years, then the battle of Kurukshetra took place. So they had the battle. And then it describes that Krishna came a number of times still to Vrindavan, even after the battle. He kept visiting Vrindavan. However, there was a curse which took place in the spiritual world between Srimati Radharani and her brother. What was her brother's name?
Sridharma.
So Sridharma cursed Srimati Radharani, and Radharani cursed Sridharma. This is in Goloka. So what was the curse?
That you will be separated from Krishna for 125 years.
No, 100 years. Okay. 100 years. Sridharma cursed Radharani. Okay, you will go to earth, but you will not be able to be married to Krishna or be with him. You'll be separated from him for 100 years. And then she cursed, she said, you will become an asura. So he took birth as Shankarchuda. You know that demon that Krishna killed? A few chapters back, Krishna killed. That was Sridharma. Because you know, it describes in that chapter that Shankarchuda took the gopis and started herding them away. The acharyas say that no one can touch the gopis, but Shankarchuda, because actually it was right around his brother, was moving the gopis away. And then Krishna came and killed him and took the jewel. What is the jewel called?
Shamantaka
jewel. Which this jewel will come up again a few times in the 10th canto. This jewel causes a lot of problems. So killed, yeah, like all jewels. Killed Shankarchuda, took the jewel and he gave it to
Balaram.
Yeah, because if he gave it to Radharani, it would have caused problems. But then Balaram gave it secretly to Radharani. And then in Lalita Madhava, it describes that when Radharani goes to the sun planet, the jewel gets transferred around, then it arrives in Dwarka. And then when it gets into Dwarka, everyone starts getting attached to the jewel, causes problems. Finally, who's this, Satyajit?
Yeah.
Satyajit goes off into the forest, and then the lion kills him. Right, and then Jambavan kills the lion, takes the jewel, right? And then Krishna comes, beats Jambavan, the jewel comes back. This jewel causes a lot of problems. So because of this 100-year curse, Radharani and Krishna could not live together. So it was after the 100 years that then Krishna took the gopis to Dwarka and married them.
So when Shankarchuda was there, Sridharma was still present. He was present in two forms, that means.
Yeah, like an expansion. Like that. You see all in the pastimes, there's always expansions. One person only.
See, Jambavan was there in Lord Rama, in Ramayana.
Ramayana. Yeah, and then he was hiding in the cave.
He must have been for a long, long time.
Very long time. He was older than your husband. So it says that when Krishna was living in Dwarka, a number of times he came to Vrindavan because sometimes he would just be too much in ecstasy talking about Vrindavan while he's living in Dwarka. So he would say, okay, let's just go. So one time he went with Balaram and Subhadra. They rode all the way down from Dwarka all the way to Vrindavan to visit. Like that. Another time, it says, he was telling Satyabhama, his queen, about the pearl pastime with the pearls. Some pastime that Krishna had with the gopis. Satyabhama said, I want to see that place. So he said, okay. And they, maybe they got on the back of Garuda. They flew down to Vrindavan and then they saw the place. And like, so he went different times. And then it says another time, his queens wanted to see Kamyavan. Kamyavan's on the western side of Vrindavan. So he took all the queens down and they saw Kamyavan. So he, a number of times. It wasn't like he never went back from Dwarka either. It's not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but he did go many times. So then he stays in Dwarka. Marries Srimati Radharani and the gopis. They come and live there. 100 years has passed. And then when 125 years has passed, then? He has the final pastime, which is described in the...
Moshalali.
Where is that? 12th canon? Is it 12th or end of the 11th? End of the 11th or 12th, somewhere there. Yeah. So then he has the final pastime, where everyone destroys each other. And then it describes that Arjuna goes and gets the queens and brings them back. Like that. So, and then they all begin to disappear. Is it okay? Very, very confusing. Okay, you want me to start it again? Okay, so anyway, it gives you an idea. So the point we're trying to make is that Krishna did come back to Vrindavan. That's the point.
It's not.
Oh, Krishna.
Uddhava, you said that he went.
Nearly killed. Very dangerous.
I wanted to know when he began to grasp into Vrindavan.
What is it?
Uddhava, when he went to Vrindavan, said by Lord Krishna.
Yeah.
He went there and he went. So much intense love of the gopis.
Yeah.
He wanted to stay there and he became the grass.
Yeah. Kundalata.
So when did that take place?
Well, it means that he went back.
I thought he was, when Krishna was leaving this world.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure when he becomes the Kundalata, but.
So he told him to go to Vrindavan as well as. To Vyasadeva.
Yeah, maybe some expansion or something stayed there, I'm not sure.
They became two.
Could have been.
When he stayed in Vrindavan and then one went to Vyasadeva.
Could have been, yeah. I don't know anything else. Any points? Is everyone confused?
It's very nice.
Very nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone's got it clear? It's basically clear. It's very intricate, all these things. It's very intricate because there's Prakat Leela, there's Aprakat Leela. Krishna is there, he's not there. And different things are happening simultaneously. And in each of his forms, I was reading before, when he's with the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan in the Prakat Leela, that form is fully experiencing all of those emotions. But the other form, which is over feeling separation, who's in Mathura, and then he's feeling like a completely different set of emotions. Right? So Krishna, when he expands himself, each form is experiencing something completely different. So that's why he can experience all these things simultaneously. Right? So how do we understand this? Actually, you can't. Yeah. How can you be two people and still be the same person? But two people who are experiencing two different things, but still the same person. It's called a chintana.
But everything is possible in
Krishna, everything is possible. So if you don't understand it, it's okay. Because even for Krishna, it's...
Just these first times are Bhoma and Dhamma first times.
Yeah.
So just what you mentioned, is it the Goloka or is it still...
Goloka, the separation is different. It's not as long, not as intense. When it comes to this world, then there's longer periods of separation. Like in Goloka, if he says he's going to Mathura, in one sense he stays in Vrindavan, they're always together. If he goes to Mathura, he'll come back very quickly. You know, it's a different dynamic. Yeah, that's in Goloka.
Yeah.
And then they say, okay, now when you go down there, this will happen.
So this is, that's the this is Goloka. This is Bhoma Vrindavan.
This is Bhoma Vrindavan. Bhagavatam is Bhoma Vrindavan. Anything else?
Just a question. I'm reading a book called Gauranga by Jayakita Swami, and it's describing Lord Chaitanya's. It starts with where Krishna's with one of his queens, and she's crying while he's there, and he asks her, "Why are you crying?" And she says, "You can never understand." And it's because she's feeling the separation from him even while she's with him. But from what we're hearing now, I just keep thinking, well, he's feeling a lot of separation in these past times as Krishna. But so why does he have to come back as the Lord Chaitanya to feel what it feels like to be in separation when he is feeling separation?
It says that he takes Radha Bhav. So it means...
How is it different?
Because he's experienced what Radharani feels. Here he's only experiencing what he feels. But when he becomes Gauranga, he takes her complexion and her mood.
But how is what she feels different to what he feels?
More intense.
Ah, okay. So her love for him is greater than his love for her?
More intense.
Just try to get my head around.
Yeah. You'll never get your head around it. Because
sure.
So, yeah, just take it like that. It's more intense. That's all.
But yesterday
you said that Radharani gives more place to Krishna. Yeah.
So,
collecting separate. Yeah. Okay. My dear king, then Vasudev, the son of Shurasen, arranged for a priest and other brahmanas to perform his two sons' second birth initiation. Vasudev honored these brahmanas by worshipping them and giving them fine ornaments and well-ornamented cows with their calves. All these cows were golden necklaces and linen wreaths. So that is the system. The system is you must give charity. Dana. Dana. Whenever there is a jagya, it is not complete unless charity is given. Any religious ceremony, you must give charity to make it auspicious. At the end of the jagya or something, charity must be distributed. That is the Vedic system. And actually that's how it keeps everything going around. These days we don't do that. But in the ancient days everyone was given, because there's always jagyas going on, always things happening. So everyone could always go and get charity, and so people get food, they wear clothing, all these things. So this is the Vedic system. The magnanimous Vasudev then remembered the cows he had mentally given away on the occasion of Krishna's and Balaram's birth. Kamsa had stolen those cows, and Vasudev now recovered them and gave them away in charity. Also, after attaining twice-born status through initiation, the lords, sincere in their vows, took the further vow of celibacy from Gargamuni, the spiritual master of the Yadus. So it says that they took Gayatram. What does Gayatram mean?
Gayatri mantra.
Yeah, they received Gayatri mantra. When do you receive Gayatri mantra? Yeah, in ISKCON we say second initiation. Previously there wasn't two initiations. There was just Diksha. What we call second initiation in ISKCON is technically called Diksha. Diksha means initiation. It means you receive the Gayatri mantra. The qualification for receiving Gayatri mantra, you must be practicing celibacy. Yeah. If you cannot practice celibacy, you should not receive Gayatri mantra. Otherwise, it will not be effective. You must have sense control. Sense control is the quality of the higher classes, the brahmanas, the kshatriyas, the vaishyas. That's why the sudras don't take initiation. They don't go to gurukul and they don't take initiation. The vaishyas, sudras only have one ashram. What is the ashram of the sudras?
Grihastha.
Grihastha only. Right? Vaishyas, they have two ashrams. What do they have?
Brahmachari
and Grihastha. Right? That's a Vaishya. So they all go through Brahmachari training. Then they become Grihastha. The Kshatriyas? Only three. They don't become sannyasis. You'll see in the first canto, what happened to Dhritarashtra? Can vanaprastha. Right? Vanaprastha means you go with the wife. That's vanaprastha. Well, husband and wife stay together, but they renounce the home. That's for kshatriyas. And then brahmanas? Yeah, they have an option. Brahmanas can go from brahmachari straight to sannyas, or you can travel through the four. So the brahmanas, they are very renounced. But the basic quality is, if you receive Gayatri mantra, you must be practicing celibacy. To practice celibacy, you have to be spiritually strong. If you're not spiritually strong, you can't practice celibacy. It's very difficult in this day and age for people to be celibate. A big obstacle, even in this con, devotees struggle with celibacy. Many devotees struggle. So that means you have to be very
strict,
and you have to be very so you have to be patient, actually, to take initiation. Sometimes we rush everyone. Take initiation. Actually, take your time. That's better. Prabhupada did not rush. Prabhupada took 12 years. Take your time, because when you take initiation, you have to be strict. Because you're taking Gayatri mantra. Gayatri mantra. When you get Gayatri mantra, what does it qualify you for?
Deity worship.
Yeah, deity worship. You can't worship the deity unless you have Gayatri mantra. Right? So if you take Gayatri mantra, you're now qualified to worship the deities. If you're worshipping the deities, you have to be sense controlled. That's the system. No illicit sex. Right? So if you can't follow that system, don't take initiation. That's okay. You can still be part of ISKCON. Right? You can still chant 16 rounds and be a devotee. But to be initiated, then you must follow strictly the four regulative principles. So we have to understand. And not everyone will come to that straight away, and not everyone will come to that easily. So we should not pressure people. Just bring them up gradually. It takes time, actually. We're seeing it's harder for devotees than what we first anticipated. So just bring everyone up slowly. But once you can follow, then you take initiation, then you can worship the deities, you can guide you. Krishna and Balaram did all this in 2 months. They were so qualified. Their whole brahmachari life took 2 months. Look out. Any points?
Who was the father of Sandipini?
Of what?
Who was the father of Sandipini?
The father?
I don't know, the mother,
Pornamasi. I'm not sure who the father was. Not sure.
We see
Rishabh
Dev's husband, he actually took sannyas, not
Rishabdev, does it mention sannyas or it says he's just like a mendicant? Avadhut's a different thing. No, sannyas is a vow, particular vow. Avadhut may or may not be a sannyasi. May be a sannyasi, may not be.
Because his wife was not there with him when he did those pastimes later.
Yeah, I mean, this is like general instructions. Someone might be exceptionally qualified. They may go to like another level. Like with Vishwamrita and Vishishta. You know, things changed because of.
Nityananda Prabhu was Avadhuta
as well.
Nityananda Prabhu?
Nityananda Prabhu. But then he married
Avadhuta in the past.
Yeah, he was called Avadhuta after he got married too.
No.
He was called Avadhuta after he got married also.
But he was
before as well. Yeah. Nityananda Prabhu is a totally different thing.
That was born, I was getting mixed up. One that was born in a different
known
Vedic system.
They were born more recently, so the Vedic system wasn't really. Concealing their innately perfect knowledge of their human-like activities, those two omniscient lords of the universe, themselves the origin of all branches of knowledge, next desired to reside at the school of a spiritual master. Thus they approached Sandipani Muni, a native of Kashi, living in the city of Avanti. So what are Krishna and Balaram doing?
Learning.
Very good. Setting an example. What are they doing? Yeah, they're taking initiation. Right? Who is the original guru? Yeah, Krishna and Balaram. They're the Adi Gurus. Who is going to initiate? Who is qualified to initiate Krishna and Balaram? Right? So therefore, they're doing this to set an example. That we should also aspire for initiation. Even Prabhupada said that not everyone will get initiated. He said that. So if you don't get initiated in this lifetime, you don't have to feel bad. You can still go back to Godhead. But generally, we need to get initiated, generally. Sandipani thought very highly of these two self-controlled disciples, whom he had obtained so fortuitously. By serving him as devotedly, as one would serve the Supreme Lord himself, they showed others an irreproachable example of how to worship the spiritual master. So we have to learn this item of Guru Seva. Rupa Goswami says the very first item of bhakti, of the 64 items of devotional service, is Guru Pad Ashraya. Then he says, then you must take initiation. Then he says, you must take instruction. Right? And you must serve like a menial servant. This is the system. If you want to become Krishna conscious, first you have to become perfect servant of the Guru. So Krishna is showing us. If you want to understand Krishna, you must first understand how to serve the Guru. So they were perfect disciples. Krishna and Balaram are perfect servants of the Guru. So they're showing us we should also become perfect servants of the Guru. The best of Brahmanas, the spiritual master Sandipani, was satisfied with their submissive behavior, and thus he taught them the entire Vedas together with their six corollaries and the Upanishads. He also taught them the Dana Veda, with its most confidential secrets, the standard books of law, the methods of logical reasoning and philosophical debate, and the sixfold science of politics. Mm. So he taught them according to their varna. What is their varna? They are? That's ashram. Varna. They're kshatriyas. Yeah. So you're teaching them military science. That is the varnashram system. If you're brahmana, you learn brahminical activity. Kshatriya, what's the problem with the school these days? Yeah, you throw them all in middle part primary and they'll get taught the same thing. And what's the problem? They're all different. Some of them are brahmanas, some of kshatriyas, some of vaishyas, some of sudras. Everyone learns the same thing. And if the kid doesn't have an aptitude, they call him stupid. Or they say he has, what do they call it, ADT or?
ADD.
ADD? Okay. It's just, it's not the problem with the kid. The problem is the educational system. That is the problem. Here, Sandipati Muni say, okay, brahmana, I'll teach you this. Kshatriya, I teach you this. Vaishya, I teach you this. Right? So he teaches all the boys according to their nature. Is it a good system? O king, those best of persons, Krishna and Balaram, being themselves the original promulgators of all varieties of knowledge, could immediately assimilate each and every subject after hearing it explained just once. Thus, with fixed concentration, they learn the 64 arts and skills in as many days and nights. Thereafter, O king, they satisfy their spiritual master by offering him Guru Dakshina. So 64 arts. What are the 64 arts? This will be in your exam. Huh? So you better memorize this. What's the first one? Singing. Yeah. So first one is singing. What is number 7? Very good. What is 42? Huh? This is all going to be in your exam. Huh? You better memorize all this. Hare Krishna. Now, don't come for the exam. Huh? Yeah. There's 64 arts. So Krishna and Balaram learned the 64 arts in 64 days. One day, one art. First one is
singing.
So they learned everything about singing in one day. All the ragas, right? All the entire art of singing, right, in one day. Second day?
Instruments.
Learn all the different types of instruments, right? Tabla, veena,
harmonium.
They learn every single thing, ridanga, everything in one day, right? Third day?
Dancing.
So they learn all about the intricacies of dancing in one day. Fourth day?
Drama.
They learn all the science of drama, which is there's so much to learn in each of these. They learn everything, right? 64 days.
Painting.
Which one?
Painting,
yeah.
So that means these Guru's ashram.
Krishna. It's okay. No.
Thank God, nothing happened to me.
Everyone is okay.
Fix the thing, get me some water. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. He was safe. Is it? We'll fix it up after class. Just leave it there now. He's not even worried. He's just sitting there. Everyone's worried, but he is not worried. Yeah, they put it up high and then they didn't stack it properly, so it's a bit dangerous actually. Okay. Is everyone okay? Hare Krishna. Chanda be happy. Okay, what was the question?
Suppose when these gurus' ashrams, the gurus are themselves equipped to teach all these 64 qualities, so they would have different teachers who are expert in each field who would come and teach the students all these arts?
Probably both. Did the guru teach all the 64 arts, or did he have assistants who would teach like that? So probably both. He may know the knowledge. He may not know everything fully, but he may have the knowledge at least. He can say, oh, this is this, this is that. But he may have to get some assistance to show everything. What's that?
The guru is to know everything. Like Vasistha.
Yeah, but it means he may not know everything to the fullest degree. Only Krishna can know everything to the fullest degree. So,
so he takes even more than 2 months. 64
Krishna, yeah, Krishna, yeah, a little bit more than 60. Mm-hmm. O King, the learned Brahmana, Sandipani, carefully consider the two Lords' glorious and amazing qualities and their superhuman intelligence. Then, after consulting with his wife, he chose as the remuneration the return of his young son, who had died in the ocean at Prabhas. So the basic system is Dakshina. Dakshina is necessary. When you take knowledge from the guru, you must give Dakshina. You must give something in return. These days we give money. But back in those days, you give different things. You might give jewels or gold or cows or ghee or grains or different things. But you must give something in reciprocation. So be it, replied those two great charioteers of limitless might. And they at once mounted their chariot and set off for Prabhas. When they reached that place, they walked up to the shore and sat down. In a moment, the deity of the ocean, recognizing them to be the supreme lords, approached them with offerings of tribute. The supreme lord Krishna addressed the lord of the ocean, "Let the son of my guru be presented at once. And, the one you seized here with your mighty waves." The ocean replied, "O Lord Krishna, it was not I who abducted him, but a demoniac descendant of Diti named Panchajana, who travels in the water in the form of a conch." Indeed, the ocean said, "That demon has taken him away." Hearing this, Lord Krishna entered the ocean, found Panchajana, and killed him. But the Lord did not find the boy within the demon's belly. So what is Krishna's conch shell name?
Panchajana.
So this is the conch shell, right? So previously in the spiritual world, the conch was there and Krishna is blowing the conch. But then the conch became proud. I am the best, right? Because I'm always with Krishna. And Krishna's lips always touch me. So the goddess of fortune, she saw the conch is proud. She cursed him. Okay, you'll take birth as a demon. So came to earth, took birth as the demon. Then Krishna entered the ocean, killed the demon. So it was a big fight. Like when Varahadev fought with Hiranyaksha. It was that like that. Big fight. And when he killed him, then he took the conch. And then that's how his conch manifested again on this earth. But then the boy is not there. The boy, the son of Sandipani Muni, his name is Madhu Mangala. You know Krishna's funny friend?
Yeah.
This is Madhu Mangala.
So this was Madhu Mangala?
Yeah. Sandipani Muni's son, Madhu Mangala.
So he's also expanded because he was always there in Krishna
Leela playing Krishna. In Vrindavan, yeah. But then maybe he's gone back to visit. Krishna Balaram went to Mathura. So maybe he's gone to Avantipur to visit his father. And then for some reason they went to Prabhas, which is over near Dwarka. And then he's been swallowed by this demon. The Supreme Lord. Where am I up to? 42. Lord Janardana took the conch shell that had grown around the demon's body and went back to the chariot. Then he proceeded to Samyamani, the beloved capital of Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. Upon arriving there with Lord Balaram, he loudly blew his conch shell with and Yamaraj, who keeps the conditioned souls in check, came as soon as he heard the resounding vibration. Yamaraj elaborately worshipped the two lords with great devotion. And then he addressed Lord Krishna, who lives in everyone's heart. O Supreme Lord Vishnu, what shall I do for you? And Lord Balaram, who are playing the part of ordinary humans. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, suffering the bondage of his past activity, my spiritual master's son was brought here to you. O great king, obey my command and bring this boy to me without delay. Yamaraj said, so be it, and brought forth the guru's son. Then those two most exalted Yadus presented the boy to their spiritual master and said to him, please select another boon. The spiritual master said, my dear boys, you have completely fulfilled the disciple's obligation to reward his spiritual master. Indeed, with disciples like you, what further desires could a guru have? O heroes, now please return home. May your fame sanctify the world, and may the Vedic hymns be ever fresh in your mind, both in this life and the next. So Krishna was given a benediction by his guru. The benediction was, it says here, but in Krishna book Prabhupada it says a little differently. The different benedictions are there, but the benediction was that whatever Krishna speaks, it will always be fresh. So when you read the Bhagavad Gita, you can read the Bhagavad Gita many, many times, and
always fresh.
Even Prabhupada would read Bhagavatam Gita, and because it's spoken by Krishna, every time you read it, you will get some new realization. That is the potency of Krishna's words. Thus receiving their guru's permission to leave, the two lords returned to their city on their chariot and moved as swiftly as the wind and resounded like a cloud. All the citizens rejoiced upon seeing Krishna and Balaram, whom they had not seen for many days. The people felt just like those who have been lost, those who have lost their wealth and then regained it. This is called lopa. Lopa means greed. They felt when they saw Krishna, they felt completely satisfied. Srila Prabhupada ki. So Monday night we'll begin chapter 46, and then Tuesday night we'll do the overview of the chapters.